John Garland is going to try and finish what he started. Ninth inning, bottom half, Figgins takes a strike. Garland during the regular season, three complete game shutouts. Now trying to do it in the ALCS. In the air to right, Dye is there, and the White Sox behind John Garland take game three, 5-2. Guillen stuck with his starter, and John Garland rewarded him with a 1-2-3 ninth inning, and he can't do much better than the 27-year-old right-hander did tonight.
Hit and Run with Mike Esposito, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Getting goosebumps listening to that, and the song certainly helps as we head on out to the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. In town for the 05 reunion, and great to talk to world champion from the White Sox, John Garland. John, appreciate your time this morning. That had to feel good here in the end of that ALCS complete game there.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. That was it gave me a little bit of goosebumps, too.
Talk about a great series and a great, really, playoff run that team, and specifically you guys on the starting staff had, but really just a rough and immediate run through that postseason with only the one loss. You guys really were dominant there, and it's certainly great to see a lot of the guys back for the celebration.
It's always great seeing the guys, being able to come back, hang out, relive the dream, tell stories. It's always awesome.
Yeah, it's certainly sad in the sense that Bobby Jenks passed away right beforehand. Certainly a shocker with somebody as young as that, even with some of the health issues that we knew he had. But certainly has to be a big part missing from you guys with Bobby not there.
Yeah, it's definitely a kick in the gut not seeing him here, not being able to give him a hug, and for him not being able to share this with us.
Yeah, another guy too, John, and I know longtime White Sox broadcaster Ed Farmer was a huge part of the team for so long in both a playing and in a broadcasting realm. I think he would have certainly loved to have been a part of this and certainly would appreciate everything that's been going on with the reunion and also with everything with having the Pope from the south side of Chicago. I think he would have been tickled by that.
I mean, what a question. That's not even a doubt. He not only did he love baseball as much as he did, he absolutely loved the White Sox, the city. I mean, born and raised. He would have had a heck of a time for sure.
Talking to John Garland, the world champion White Sox pitcher from the 2005 team, and they're in town for the reunion of the 2005 World Series team. And how about that Mark Burley statue? It looked pretty pretty realistic, pretty life-size, and it got to be both a cool and a weird thing to see one of your teammates immortalized in bronze out there.
No, it's absolutely awesome. The fact that there's been, I don't know, I think four or five guys now have gotten statues that I had the opportunity to play with here. And it's a pretty special thing. And we're just waiting on the Hall call for Mark. I firmly believe he deserves it. And we'll see where it goes.
John Garland, our guest here on Hit and Run. I tend to agree with you, and especially as pitching stats change as we go further in baseball. And, you heard Joe Buck reference it in that highlight. You had three complete game shutouts in that regular season and then the one in the postseason back in 2005, which doesn't seem like that long ago. But nowadays, I mean, three complete game shutouts is impossible. They barely even allow complete games anymore.
Well, we had the four. So, I mean, beyond three, we had four straight. So, yeah, you're going to be hard-pressed to see one person go out and throw a complete game. You have to have a manager that trusts you, and the game has to be flowing properly. Your pitcher has to be healthy and strong, and there's a lot of variables that go with that. But you also have so many guys in the bullpen that have so much good stuff and can close out a game from the sixth inning on. It's kind of hard not to with some of the guys that are there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. A different game in some respects, but in many cases, the same game and the same game we all love and grew up loving. As you look back on that 05 team, John, and a team that really wire to wire, you guys were dominant for most of the season. Cleveland made things interesting there in September, but you guys pulled away and ran through the playoffs as we discussed. What do you remember most, or what one or two things during that season, you know, flash back before you as you guys revisit everything from 2005?
Well, to start with the little downfall there at the end of the year, I think that helped us. Because I tell a lot of people, in 162 games, there's going to be some highs and lows for every team. It doesn't matter how good you are, how good your staff is. There's going to be some highs and lows with that, with the game. It's just the way it goes. So I think it happened at the right time. You know, it didn't necessarily scare us, but it was like, oh, okay, that there's our one little blip of the season. Now let's just keep this run going. And every guy just had it in their mind, we're going to win, and we went out and drove through it.
Yeah, that was it was a fun team to cover. Certainly a lot of great personalities, a lot of great baseball players. And your starting rotation, you mentioned it, the four complete games in the ALCS, yourself and Burley and Contreras and Freddie, but you talk about just a group of workhorses and guys that went out and helped dominate that season. What was that like being down in that bullpen with that team and, you know, amongst the bullpen guys too, but that starting staff, certainly you guys had a great thing going that year.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm just trying to feed off of Mark. I'm trying to emulate him. I'm trying to stack the innings on. I'm trying to be out there for over 30 starts, give your team an opportunity. Freddie coming in that year had already been that type of pitcher. He'd already shown that he can go out and give a team all the innings they possibly need. And with Contreras coming over, I think he just fed off of what we were doing. You know, he saw what Mark did, and I think he took the same little look that I did and said, well, listen, if we're going to be on the staff with him, we got to try and compete with him and stay with him.
Yeah, it's certainly great to hear, and part of what I think, you know, great pitchers bring. And you were fantastic there in 05, 18 wins, 18-10. You made the All-Star team and, you know, the postseason complete game, so certainly a huge part. You made all of your starts. You had a nice run of years there where you made 30-plus starts. What, in terms of consistency and being healthy, how did you go about that? What was your process to make sure you tried to hit those 200-plus innings?
And just trying to take care of your body the best you can. I mean, you're going to have some bumps and bruises. You're going to get beat up. Even as a starter, when you're only going, you know, 30 games out of the 162 or 33, whatever it may be, you still have those bumps and bruises. So it's a matter of, you know, your cold tanks, your hot tanks, you're icing down, you're eating the proper foods, you're getting the rest and the sleep you need for your body to recover. And you just try and touch on all those little intangibles that help your body recover.
Talking to John Garland, a few more minutes here on Hit and Run on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. John, we were talking about the draft, which is ironically today, but you had an experience coming out. You were drafted high as a high school player, and then you made your major league debut at age 20 with the Sox. What was that like from your memory of coming up as such a young player and then trying to contribute immediately to a team that was pretty good?
A bit nerve-wracking, you know, because as an athlete, you always believe in yourself. You always believe you can get to the highest point. You always believe you deserve to be there. But when you're there, I mean, the mind takes over a little bit, and you start thinking, well, I got to prove myself to the league. I got to prove myself to my teammates. I got to prove myself. When in actuality, you already have. And as a young kid, I didn't realize that. It probably would have helped me out earlier in my career if I did. I wouldn't have been trying to necessarily get the approval of my teammates of being there. But I think that was a little bit for me, especially as a young guy at 20 coming up. I wasn't sure what necessarily to expect. It's everything that I wanted. But like I said, it's a bit nerve-wracking when you're trying to prove yourself, in a sense.
Yeah, and I know Burley, you know, you guys are roughly similar ages and came up similar times, and nothing just seemed to bother him. It's like you said, he just seemed to be so consistent, and you guys were trying to keep up with each other, but I would love to know, and I mean, maybe you could fill us in, like, how did he go about that, and how did he keep that mindset? Because he just seemed to shrug everything off and just go about his business.
I would assume it was a bit the same for him. You know what I mean? You come up as a young guy, and it's nerve-wracking. You're in a new clubhouse, and you're in a clubhouse with I mean, Hall of Famers. You know what I mean? You step into that realm. But he went about his business, kept his head down, and he never looked back.
John Garland, our guest here on Hit and Run. Last few minutes here with John, reminiscing about the 2005 World Championship team and Mark Burley statue. We were talking earlier about numbers and retired numbers, and Ozzy came up, and we know how identifiable he is with the White Sox, and he's a world championship manager for the Sox. What do you think in terms of Ozzy and a potential number getting retired by the Sox?
Well, I mean, we can't also forget about Rookie of the Year.
That's true.
That was in there too. So, I mean, that's not a feat that's easily come by there. I mean, I would agree with it. The time that he spent here as a player, the time he spent here as a manager, the things he brought to the organization, I would not be against it one bit. And I would love to come back and be on that field for that ceremony.
Yeah, I think the fan base is with you on that, John, and I think most people would be in agreement. As we let you go, and we really appreciate your time and hopping on to talk about this with us today, as you're back this weekend and you're reminiscing with your teammates, what is it like for you as a now retired player coming back? You know, it's been a few years since you pitched, but what are you up to these days, and how do you enjoy coming back and kind of reliving the world championship with your teammates?
Yeah, coming back and seeing all the guys, it's a blessing, really, having the opportunity, because Jerry didn't have to do a 20-year. I mean, he didn't have to do a 10-year if he wanted. But for him to bring us all back, for us to be able to share a weekend together, a couple nights, shooting stories back and forth, giving some hugs, it's a good feeling. Knowing that all these guys still care about you, all these guys are still friends, all these guys are still going to be there for you.
Yeah, it seems like you guys kind of slid right back into your comfort zone there real quick with this group.
Yeah, it doesn't take long when you get us into a room. Guys start seeing faces, guys start smiling, giving hugs. It doesn't take long at all.
Well, John, we really appreciate it. This was a lot of fun talking about the 2005 World Series champions, and it's been great having you on. And appreciate your time.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, Mike. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks, John. John Garland from the World Series champion 2005 Chicago White Sox in town with the reunion, the 20-year anniversary of the World Championship and the Mark Burley statue out there in right center field. It was great to talk to him, and great to hear some of those reminiscences about the World Series championship team. And I know he and his teammates certainly have had a great time this weekend. We have to take a quick time out. When we do come back, we will talk about our team of the moment. Cubs fans will not enjoy our team of the moment, but you'll find out why they won't when we return. Cubs pregame at noon with Zach, Shota Imanaga, and Will Warren for the Yankees. Sox playing this afternoon as well against Cleveland. But our team of the moment next when we return on Hit and Run here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Finnegan deals, Vaughn, line drive, right center. This one's going to split the gap. Cheerios in. Yacht's being waved home. The throw, not in time. We are tied. Andrew Vaughn, who are you?
How about 10 RBIs in his first five games?
Finnegan deals, Durbin. Base hit. And the Brewers win in walk-off style. What a comeback. 6-5, the final. Six in a row for the Brew Crew.
How about Caleb Durbin with his third career, in his young career, walk-off base hit?
It was the team of the moment, offering entertainment. The team of the moment, they caught our eyes.
I don't know how entertaining it is for Cubs fans. It is very entertaining for us to hear Brian Anderson for Brewers TV say, Andrew Vaughn, who are you? And that was good. Very funny. Andrew Vaughn, by the way, in his five games with the Brewers, has two home runs and 10 RBIs and a 0.5 war in five games. In his White Sox career, he had a negative war. So think about that, Sox fans. Sox fans, Andrew Vaughn is doing, well, it's Brewers-like things, and that's our team of the moment. Sadly, I promised Cubs fans that they wouldn't like this. Our team of the moment is the Milwaukee Brewers. They have won 6 in a row, 7 of 8, after winning a road series in Miami against a pretty hot Marlins team last weekend. They then swept the world champion LA Dodgers and have won the first 2 games against the Nationals. And the Brewers will finish their series with Washington today, this afternoon at American Family Field. First pitch at 1:10. The Brewers looking really good. You kind of thought maybe this would be the year they went away. Well, they're not going away. They're a game behind the Cubs. The Cubs 56-39. The Brewers are 55-40. They're only a game back. They've won 6 in a row. They are they're the hottest team in the National League. They'd be the hottest team in all of baseball if not for Boston. But the Brewers are playing some great baseball. I partially blame Mark Grody. I know you're probably like, how is Mark Grody responsible for the Brewers? Well, there was a day when he was hosting and I was listening, and the Cubs had a 6-game lead on the Brewers at this point, and the Brewers were in town. And Mark Grody said that, you know what? I think this is where the Cubs just run away with this. They're going to sweep through the... Yeah, they're, he said that a few times, too. The Cubs are going to sweep through the Brewers, and Milwaukee's going to go away, and the Cubs are going to run away with this division. Is essentially, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what Grody said. And the Brewers have gone the opposite direction, and the Cubs are still playing good ball. 56-39, you're 15 above. But Milwaukee is red hot, and they have made quite a race in this division. And they're our team of the moment. You talk about Pat Murphy, the manager, getting things done. And they really have not missed a skip to beat since Craig Counsell's departure. Pat Murphy has done a great job there. Christian Yelich continues to play very well for the Brewers. The Andrew Vaughn thing just cracks me up. And I apologize, Sox fans. I'm not trying to rub it in. It's just... this is what happens, and I guess this is maybe more Brewers-related than Sox-related, but Milwaukee gets guys in, helps them get right, and then puts them out there. And then Andrew Vaughn has just been ridiculous in 5 games, 14 at-bats, 2 home runs, 10 RBIs, a 1.50 OPS. Obviously not sustainable. But he was, listen, he was the 3rd overall pick not too long ago.
This is a guy with pedigree. Like, it isn't crazy to think that he could turn it around. It's just silly that he did it, like, immediately with the Brewers.
Immediately, with walk-off hits and game-tying hits in his literal first week on the roster since coming up from the minors. But it's just unbelievable. It's unbelievable from the White Sox standpoint. Like, listen, we had this guy. We trotted him out there. All this time, he has a negative WAR over, what, 3 seasons? He traded him to the Brewers after a month in the minors, and here he is, and he's hitting the cover off the ball. And here's the Brewer skipper, Pat Murphy.
It's about people, man. You know, it really is about people. You got to win baseball games, and you can get on streaks, and you can do things, but people, you know, if there wasn't a player in that dugout that didn't believe Durbin was going to do something good. And if he didn't, they would have said, well, that's just baseball, but... we believe he's going to do something good. And every time Yelich is in those situations, he kind of like unobtrusively does something to help us. And when he doesn't, somebody. And then you got Vaughn, who's just in a great spot in his career in that he got a new life with a new organization. It went to AAA, wasn't sure, got the chance to come up. And the kid is just, I mean, I haven't seen a kid come up and put on a week like this, even any of our young guys. But this guy was that hitter. He was that hitter 3 or 4 years ago, you know, and he just wasn't in these environments. And I think he's probably enjoying himself his first week in baseball, first week here.
I think that's an understatement, Pat Murphy.
Right. And they get credit. Like, I mean, the Brewers have, like, Jackson Chourio was the number one prospect in baseball. He said Andrew Vaughn has been more impressive with his first week at the Milwaukee Brewers than Jackson Chourio was.
That's pretty crazy. That's Sean Sears, our executive producer. I'm Mike Esposito in for Matt Spiegel today. And the Brewers, sadly and scarily, are team of the moment this week on Hit and Run. It's very interesting. He starts off not talking about any of the baseball stuff, Pat Murphy. He starts talking, you know, it's about the people. It's about the people. So Vaughn came in, he got brewerized, whatever they do up there to their players, you know, after some AAA time.
I think it's an IPA.
Yeah. It probably is in Wisconsin. It's probably an IPA. He's been brewerized, and maybe after the game he did get brewerized. We're not sure with his teammates, but that is a team. They lost Willy Adames. They've lost their closer. They've lost Corbin Byrne. I mean, they've lost player after player after player. And yet, they continue to win. And you look at their lineup, and Sean mentioned Jackson Churio, one of the best young players in the game, with 15 homers, 59 RBIs. Bryce Terang, their second baseman, actually leads their team in WAR with a 2.8. Terang, a multi-purpose threat, speed demon on the base pass, as is Churio, but does everything well. Sal Frelick is having a great season out in right field. Yelich continues to hit, 19 home runs and 65 RBIs for Christian Yelich, who is borderline Hall of Famer. Are we ready to call Christian Yelich a borderline Hall of Famer, Sean?
I think it's hard not to at this point, right? He's definitely a Brewers great, which is also weird to think about.
He's
right
getting his Brewers number retired for sure. All right, so now I'm going to dive into the rabbit hole, and we're going to go to career stats for Christian Yelich as we go here. You tell me, score listener, is Christian Yelich a Hall of Famer? He is approaching 1,700 hits. He has 223 home runs, 800 RBIs, 800 plus RBIs, excuse me.
An MVP award, obviously.
MVP award. He's in what year, like 12 or 13 here? It's borderline. You know, he's in the Paul Konerko borderline Hall of Fame players.
That's funny.
Kind of
that's
thing.
That's what Grant Leader just said back here as well, too. Yeah.
That's a listen, a good to great player over the course of his career. That is certainly something that you can see and you could see happening. But the Brewers, I'm telling you, they're getting contributions from everybody. Their pitching has been good. Freddie Peralta, we've seen and talked about Jacob Mizorowski, the rookie coming up throwing 102 and making the All-Star team. We could debate that, and we will debate that because I think it's a little ridiculous that he's made the All-Star team. But and here is my counter to my own point is I was one of the people out there like, listen, baseball does a terrible job of marketing their star players, does a terrible job of promoting their young stars and the future of the game. Specifically, the example that has always stuck with me is when Mike Trout was immediately the best player in baseball. And you never saw anything about him. You never heard anything about him. He was not featured in things. You know, baseball people knew him, but the American public that didn't watch baseball did not know him. He was not ubiquitous like, you know, Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers or any of the football players, any of the basketball players for that matter.
Or even like a Derek Jeter, you know what I mean? Like,
right?
My girlfriend knows who Derek Jeter is. My girlfriend did not know Mike Trout was in Subway commercials for like years. She's like, who's this guy? And I was like, that's Mike Trout. And she's like, he's in Subway commercials, isn't he? It's like, well, he's also like the best player in baseball. But
right.
Sure.
Well, yeah. And you know, and this is the hopefully this is baseball adjusting to that. But then I did find it amusing, and not that I don't agree with Trey Turner, but Trey Turner of the Phillies, who came out and basically said, and you know, defending Christopher Sanchez, his teammate, who they thought should have been the All-Star replacement for Matthew Boyd, say, oh, it's all about clicks, it's all about social media, it's all about whatever. Yeah, I agree with you, and I also think that baseball is doing a good thing by promoting probably the, you know, who called it? Was it Pat Murphy, the shiny new to baseball, shiny new toy, whatever?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy called Jacob Mizorowski, his pitcher, the shiny new toy of baseball, right? Because that's kind of the hype that has surrounded Jacob Mizorowski since he's come up. He's been amazing in, what, 5 starts, though? So it's not all-star deserving, but it's all-star getting as an injury replacement. Not an injury replacement. Matthew Boyd pitched almost a complete game yesterday, so Mizorowski is a guy that's going to replace him. The text line, Sean, by the way, 312-644-6767, if you'd like to chime in. We have a few Hall of Very Good, not Hall of Fame, and some people are very angry at me that I've even mentioned Christian Yelich as a potential Hall of Famer. Listen, it was stream of consciousness as we're talking about the Brewers. I said, well, Christian Yelich, is he a Hall of Famer? I don't know. The answer is not yet. I appreciate that, and thank you all for texting. We do appreciate that. He had a few 7-plus war seasons, his MVP season, as well as the following season. Was he a two-time MVP, Christian Yelich?
I think it was just one time.
All right.
Let me double-check.
He had a nice run there in the late 20-teens. But Christian Yelich is certainly a Brewers Hall of Famer, as Sean Sears correctly pointed out.
One-time MVP, three-time All-Star, three-time Silver Slugger, two-time batting title champ.
Okay.
And won a Gold Glove.
So he's in that Hall of Very Good. After looking at the career numbers, I think PK is actually higher on that Hall of Very Good than Christian Yelich. But, hey, it's been a nice career for Christian Yelich, and he's still kicking it. He's got 19 home runs this season, and he's still playing every day up in Milwaukee. He is a Brewers. He is the face of the franchise. He and Jackson Churio. You've got Freddie Peralta. McGill is closing games out there for him. And now you have new Brewers superstar, Andrew Vaughn. So you have that. I kid, White Sox fans. I kid.
Oh, man. This NL Central, though, I mean, like, the Cardinals are petering off here a little bit, though, but the Reds might have the best starting pitching in the division. The Pirates still have Paul Skeens, who could still beat anyone at any point. But this Brewers team, like, they just have been right there this whole time, right?
They won't go away. I was never, you know, the Cardinals got hot there for a minute. I like the Reds pitching. Say what you will about the division. Four of the five teams have a positive run differential, the Pirates being the only one that do not. The Cubs have been in first for pretty much the whole season, but a loss at Yankee Stadium today combined with a Brewers win, and then you enter first place with that tie. And even if it doesn't mean anything long term, psychologically, that's probably a big deal that Milwaukee has caught you as the first half kind of comes to a close.
That's annoying. I still feel like head-to-head, I still think this Cubs team's better than the Brewers, though.
I don't think there's any question. Talent-wise, on paper, I think you're exactly right. But how does it play out? You see how the team aspect of things, and I'm not, the Cubs have a great group, a great team chemistry, as does the Brewers. And we went up there. I went up there with the family on Wednesday because the Dodgers were in town. The kids wanted to see Ohtani and Betts and Freeman. They wore their Dodgers gear, and then the Brewers beat them. And that was an Andrew Vaughn day as well. So we drove up there. The wife and I.
A lot of Andrew Vaughn days recently, huh?
Yeah, it was one of the Andrew Vaughn days. It was the extra inning. They swept, and that's when it's like, all right, the Dodgers are coming to town. I remember thinking this last weekend. The Dodgers are coming to town. Milwaukee is going to get corrected a little bit. Well, no. Milwaukee was the sweeper. The Dodgers were the sweepee, sending Brewers fans home elated, sending the Esposito family home to the Chicago area with their Dodgers shirts. They were not happy campers, the Esposito children. Let's just put it that way. And yeah, but it was a good baseball series, and I think it's a very baseball-y thing that Andrew Vaughn is doing what Andrew Vaughn is doing. We have one more segment left here on Hit and Run. We will hear some sound from Yankee Stadium. We will talk Cubs and Yankees as the series finale is coming up this afternoon. In fact, Zach's pregame 25 minutes from now. It's Shota Imanaga and Will Warren. See if the Cubs can close the first half on a high note. We will talk Cubs-Yankees when we return. It's Hit and Run. Mike Esposito in for Matt Spiegel today. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Get sticky and gooey.
Rodon has allowed three hits so far and no walks and no extra base knocks. Deep drive, that might change now. If it's fair, this ball could leave the yard. Judge back to the wall and a leaping try by Judge. He made the catch. Judge just took a home run away from Pete Crow Armstrong. It was fair by only about 20 feet. Judge is enormous. He jumped and had his glove clearly up above the top of the fence and stole a home run from Pete Crow Armstrong. That's out number two.
Hit and Run with Mike Esposito, Sunday mornings on The Score.
That's Pat Hughes, of course, from The Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Judge is enormous. That is a correct observation from Pat. Robbing PCA of a home run and just being a ridiculously good baseball player with a 1.2 OPS, which is, I don't know how much higher than everybody else, but it's way, way, way higher than everybody else. Put it this way, he's almost 400 points higher than Cody Bellinger, who's the next highest Yankee. He's just that much higher than the rest of baseball, which is insane and something we should all appreciate at the same time. And I tell you what, our text line, appreciate everyone listening and their passion, but people got really angry with me for suggesting that Christian Yelich may be a Hall of Famer. I was just wondering aloud as I was mentioning his name in our Team of the Moment segment, and man, did people not like that show.
Yeah, how dare you? Why? How could you ever make the correlation about the player that from the team we were talking about?
Well, listen, he has certainly had a nice career. He's got a bit to go. Upon further review, you're correct. He's not a Hall of Famer, but he's getting there. He has a chance.
Yeah, I believe the question was, is he bordering on, you know, maybe Hall of Famer, right? Like potential Hall of Famer. We weren't saying, yeah, this guy's a shoo-in.
Yeah.
You know?
And I appreciate this text from the 331 that starts with, dude, I love Pauly, as do I. But you can't have him as above a guy that won an MVP, a gold glove, and a batting title. PK doesn't have any of these. Pauly did it for so long and so consistently that his overall career numbers are higher than Yelich's. Yelich was a bigger star for a smaller period of time and has now settled into kind of that above average great player kind of thing. But that's what Canerico was. I get it. I do get your point, and it's appreciated. But I think they're all kind of in that hall of very good. Where's this one? From the 610. This one made me laugh. Walking my dog before going to work, and I tune into The Score, thinking I'm going to catch up on the latest Cubs news. Instead, I get caught up with all kinds of Brewers news and notes. That's our Team of the Moment segment, my friend. I live in Madison, but come on, man. Well, you caught us right at the right time for the Team of the Moment. But we're going to talk Cubs right now. And that is what we do a lot here on The Score. We are the home of the Cubs, proud home of the Cubs. And they have a nice race going on with the Brewers in the Central Division. Shota Imanaga pitches today for the Cubs. Will Warren for the Yankees, the rubber match of the series. Pregame at 12:35 for the first pitch. The Cubs and Brewers in quite a race in the National League Central. And let's chat about it with Dave out on line one there. Dave, you're up on Hit and Run. Good morning.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, Dave.
Well, the Milwaukee caught up to Chicago, and I like to see the Cubs clinch the Central and go far deep into the playoffs and back to the World Series, hopefully win it. How do you like their chances?
I like the Cubs' chances on winning the division. I would love to see what they do here at the deadline in terms of acquisitions. We talked to Tony Andracki from Marquee earlier about third base. It seems that third base is going to be somewhere they may look to upgrade for this season anyway, still being high on Matt Shaw, but might be looking to upgrade third base for the stretch run here. Pitching, I want to see what they do for pitching coming down here the stretch run, because you know Justin Steele's not coming back. He's done for the year. Shota is back, and he's been doing Shota-like things. We'll find out how he looks today to close out the first half. But from a starting pitching standpoint, and Colin Ray has been great. The Cubs have gotten some starts from Cade Horton. But how about Matthew Boyd? He pitched yesterday, could have gone the distance. Call it old crotchety baseball man in me, but I wanted to see that complete game shutout. And we didn't get it. He got 8 shutout innings. But here's Cliff Floyd after the game on the Marquee post-game show, talking about just how great Matthew Boyd has been this year.
So I'm running out of things to say. We've been saying the whole season, you know, what a great pickup by the Cubs and getting him, and him going out there, and just the mix of pitches that he used today against a lineup that put up 11 runs last night. And you know what? He came out today and said, enough. I had enough of that last night. He probably watched it, went in and told himself, I'm the stopper. And when you look at how he went out and performed today, it's all about keeping these guys off balance, right? The big curveball. Pitching and doing all the things that he's done the whole season. Hence why I say, when you talk about Cy Young, this is what you look at as far as numbers-wise.
Did you just throw his hat in the race for National League Cy Young Award?
For sure. If he continues in the second half pitching like this, look at this stat line.
Hold on a second.
I mean, he could have went out there for the ninth. This is only 85 pitches, but you're trying to preserve him for the second half.
I would have liked him in the ninth.
Yeah, I would have liked him for the ninth too, guys. That's Cole and Cliff on the Marquee postgame. If you look at the stats for Matthew Boyd for the season, they're pretty ridiculous. And I know the joke is, because I know people were not necessarily thrilled when Matthew Boyd was one of the big free agent signings in the offseason. Matthew Boyd has made 19 starts. He is 10-3. 111 innings pitched, leads the team by almost 20 innings over Tyone and Ray. A 2.7 WAR, a 2.34 earned run average, and a 1.03 WHIP. The guy has been unbelievable when you think about it. His first All-Star appearance, Justin Steele went down. Shota Imanaga was hurt for a bit. The Cubs have been depending on other guys. Jameson Tyone is currently hurt. The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been Matthew Boyd. No, I'm just kidding. It's been baseball. But Matthew Boyd has been a rock for this Cubs team. They've gotten a lot of great pitching contributions from some unexpected sources out of the bullpen. You know, your Flexins and your Brad Kellers and your Pomerances and your Palencias. But certainly out of that starting rotation, Colin Ray has been huge. And Boyd has been huge.
Well, and you talk about a guy like Boyd, too. Like, I mean, that was a guy where the big question was whether or not he could stay healthy, right? Like, mm-hmm. That was what counsel said when they brought him on. They knew that he could be a good pitcher. We knew this could be his ceiling. It was just how many innings are we going to get from this guy. So for him to pitch as well as he had and also, like, be eating these innings for the Cubs right now, that's huge. Let's hope they get healthy and he doesn't have to keep doing that. But he's been amazing. You know, everything you could ask for and more.
Everything you could ask for. I mean, to put it mildly, and I know Pete Crow Armstrong has been the team's MVP, and I know Kyle Tucker has been huge. So don't at me, don't whatever.
I'm sure we'll see it on the text line.
It'll be on the text line in a second. But you could easily make a case for Matthew Boyd as the key player for the Cubs so far this year, certainly from a pitching standpoint.
I mean, if he's not here, Cubs might be screwed.
19 starts, 13 quality starts, a 10-3 record, hasn't missed a start, 111 innings, 10-3 is the record. I could go on. I did go on. But Matthew Boyd, what a first half for the Cubs. And Sean, I think you have the Craig Counsell soundbite from the end of or postgame yesterday. Is he surprised by just how well Boyd has done thus far?
You know, this is an area where I've talked about this. We don't know. You know, we think we don't know what causes pitchers to get injured. Otherwise, we'd be better as an industry. But you know, everything we're looking at with Matt is in really good shape and excellent. So you know, I know we got a long way to go, and he's got a lot of innings left to pitch. And so you're just really operating with the mindset. If there's a couple less throws, it's going to be better. But there's no signs right now of him slowing down. I mean, he's getting better.
He is getting better. He's been great. And that was Craig Counsell after the game yesterday. A few more items to get to before we throw it to Yankee Stadium and Zach's pregame show. Cubs lineup today got a little interesting wrinkle to it. Leading off is not Ian Happ. It's not Nico Hoerner. It's Michael Busch, everybody, leading off and playing first base for the Cubs today against Will Warren, 6-4, 4.70 ERA, but Michael Busch at the top of that lineup. Tucker, Seiya, PCA round out the top four. Carson Kelly with a homer yesterday hits fifth. Then you have Ian Happ batting sixth, Dansby, Nico, and Vidal Brujan playing third today. We saw Birdie yesterday, so Matt Shaw getting an extended break from third base, Brujan playing third, Shota pitching for the Cubs today. So we'll see if the Cubs could win the series at Yankee Stadium. They certainly have one of their best starters out there in which to do so, and see if they could maybe add a game in the Central Division. Are the Brewers going to lose to the Nationals today? Well, we'll find out. But I want to close with this. This was hilarious. So yesterday, and not that we will talk tons of Twins baseball, but this was a funny and very wonderful baseball thing that happened yesterday. It was Byron Buxton bobblehead day at Target Field in Minnesota. Try saying that fast too. Byron Buxton bobblehead. But it's Buxton bobblehead day up in Minnesota. And Byron Buxton, who's injury prone and has been throughout his career, but tremendously talented. So what does Byron Buxton do on Byron Buxton bobblehead day? Well, naturally, he hits for the cycle.
And here is Buxton, likely his last chance to make some history. He's never hit for the cycle. The Twins have never had a player hit for the cycle at this ballpark. He's a home run shy of doing just that.
In the air to center field. Cruz going back. Cruz to the wall. Looks up. It is gone! He's done it! Byron Buxton, a cycle! A seventh inning home run to straightaway center field. The Twins have their first cycle as a team since 2019. First cycle ever at Target Field. And guess who? The All-Star, Byron Buxton.
A magical moment at Target Field. The first cycle in Target Field history belongs to Byron Buxton.
That deserves a curtain call.
Fans won't sit down, or should they? 5 for 5.
And the cycle.
Twins television credit there for the highlight. Corey Probus, our old pal from Cubs Radio way back in the day. Corey Probus on the call there for Twins television. So great way to finish, and great outing for Byron Buxton yesterday, and great outing for Matthew Boyd yesterday. We'll see what Shota gives us today. Cubs pregame is coming up next. Zach will have that for you. Our thanks to our great guests today, John Garland from the 05 White Sox, Tony Andracki, Marquee Sports Network, Cole Wright, Marquee Sports Network. Appreciate all of them. Appreciate Sean Sears. Great job as always. Get well soon to our buddy Matt Spiegel, and he hopefully will be back tomorrow for Spiegel and Holmes tomorrow afternoon. I'm Mike Esposito. It's been a pleasure filling in on Hit and Run this morning. Stick around. Cubs baseball is next. Zach's pregame from Yankee Stadium is next. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This has been the definition of Sunday Fun Day.